Hello and welcome to the Red or Dead podcast. I'm Maria and joining me tonight is Drake.
How you doing?
I'm good. We'll come on to finding out about your exciting week, Dre. And Suki.
Hey.
Dre's walked off. Great.
I had enough straight away.
That was it. He's like, I'm done.
I was like, no one asked questions about my private life.
So, speaking of your private life, Dre, tell us what you've been up to this week.
Well, yesterday, I went to, last night, funny enough, I literally forgot the game was on a... forgot the game was on a Tuesday and didn't realise that, and ended up being alerted to the game was kicking off by you guys because I thought it was on a Wednesday.
So outrageous. You mean you haven't got the schedule engrained on your brain?
Funny enough, no, I haven't. But I should do. But that's what happened.
That's a swanky hat you got there as well. Dre is wearing, just for our listeners, wearing a very swanky red LFC cap. Very nice.
It's not the hard to get the Nike one that Klopp wears. It's the 47 one. As well.
That's nice.
Talk us through your evening then, Dre. You seem to have glossed over it.
Yeah. So why did you miss the Liverpool match last night, Dre? What were you doing instead?
You were doing some cheeky TikToks as well, weren't you?
I went to Hawksmoor with a client, Red Bull. So we were just talking about our plans for next year. And then my phone started to light up and I just realised that the game was on. Today or yesterday rather than Wednesday, and I was got into a bit of a panic, but I was trying to avoid the actual result. But then I was compelled to comment in our chat, which is like, you know, makes it near impossible. So I ended up just knowing that things were going well because there wasn't any angry steaming face emojis or anything like that coming through. So
kind of different.
What food did you order? Hawksmoor,
Hawksmoor,
FYI for next time.
Hawksmoor, for those who don't know, is a steak restaurant. Very manly, man place. And it's
it's a very man
place.
It's not at all. No, for real, there's only dudes in there.
It's only for men, just so you know, so women stay out. Right, so
steak no, but it was for like, men.
It was a very weird, manly night, if anything. So it gave me the impression that it was like...
It's getting worse.
Wait, was this your first time to Hawksmoor?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it's my first time. You know what? I've literally been going through a lot of these restaurants that I haven't been to before. But because we've been stuck indoors but for such a long time, I refuse
we'll get
to...
get on to the one he hasn't been to.
No, I haven't been there, and I'm not going there. So for my own personal reasons.
What did you think of Hawksmoor? What did you order? Hawksmoor is actually my favourite steak restaurant.
And why was it manly
it was like the decor and everything is like steel wood. It's like, to me, it's like very much like a place that I would... If I was decorating my own place and I had just had unlimited budget, that's what it would look like. Okay. With a big TV there. There's no soft furnishing there at all.
It's not like your new age stuff with plants and leaves everywhere, but it's
old school.
It's meant to be old school. It's not man though, but each one's slightly different as well. So there's like four or five Hawks.
I need to go to the other ones as well. But we got a coasting through the different types of steaks and how many, like, if there's three of you sharing a steak, what you should get and all those things. So it's like, it's nice because I actually felt alert something. It's not like I normally just buy my steaks from the, Aldi and just throw it on the barbecue.
This is cheap,
let me get that one. Yeah, it's just T-bone steak. Let me get it. Like,
what did you get? What kind of steak did you go for?
So we went for a porterhouse and then a T-bone.
Nice.
It was nice, very, very nice. And I think I'm still full.
You get the triple hook chips.
And then, we got the There's different types of chips we've had. I wasn't partaking in that bit. And then there was some other a lot of other garnishes that I just like just slapped on. But it was very nice, and I'll be going back there. I should actually pay a bit more attention to it, but I was chatting away, enjoying the night, and then looking at your chats to see if we're losing or not. Then I realized that Real Madrid was beating Sheriff, and then I was just like, I was fully involved in my phone.
Go on, Sook, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, speaking of steak restaurants, there's that new one that's opened in Knightsbridge from that Salt Bay guy, Nusrat. And I've been seeing some of the bills or the menu on social media. They're charging £430 for a 200-gram fillet steak. Oh, my God, who's going there? How are people...
justify that kind of price? Anyway. No,
200 grams, Dre.
You know what it is? It's stupid people that, and I won't say too much, but it's like stupid people who feel the need to actually, you know, it justifies their place in the world if they're going there. Trust me, it will be packed. It's always the way. It's like, all right, here's an example. So Kanye West a few hours ago dropped new hoodie range with the Gap. Now, this is this thing here looks like something you can get in Zara or you can get in Gideon.
Seen it, actually.
No, I that's where I disagree. I think the Kanye stuff looks different and it looks like Yeezy wear, but also it's not actually that badly priced because it's Gap.
How much is it?
It's not badly priced by Gap, but what will happen is that people will buy it all out and then resell it.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. And that's what these guys don't seem to care or think about. You know, that people are going to be doing that to other people.
So it's $90, is that right?
But if you look at, for all those who are listening, if you look at that, you try to tell me what the difference is between...
No, the shape is different for the Yeezy hoodie. It's like it's Kanye style. You can tell.
Tookie is our resident hype beast.
And, oh, here we go.
That's the reason why. And it gets people like him. This is the market.
I'm not going to order it. I've got some nice other hoodies instead. But you can talk rocking your AJ4 Black Cats this week. It's not about me. It's not about me.
That was funny.
So how's your week, everyone?
Trey's going to be going to Nusrat in his AJ4s.
That's why I'm thinking, wait a minute, just in case like I get taken out or something like that, I don't want to be go too far. I'll be like, oh, hold on a second, we heard you was talking some shit about our restaurant the other day. How about you can't come in? How about that?
I think you've gone there now, so that's not going to happen, Dre. You're not going.
Exactly.
They're going to hear it. That'd be it.
That's it. They're going to push me out. They're going to have my face on the
yeah, just that hoodie. Just looking at it. Suki's right, it has got the Kanye twist to it. Because
another follower.
No, but because you know I like Yeezy stuff, so he's got a specific, there is a thing about
you know
it.
What? I just realized who I'm speaking to, but two hype beasts who are Yeezy followers.
I got my new Yeezy. I actually got the new drop 2 weeks ago and I managed to waiting list and I was picked and I was like,
drop four. I've never got through on a drop.
Believe that I got them. It was the
before Dre keeps.
Oh, maybe it was, like, it might have been four, 3 weeks ago because they seem to be releasing with this crap.
Dre's probably got the most hype beast clothes out of all of us. Like, it's just dropping that something new on his Instagram every day, the influencer. Yeah.
He just doesn't pay for it. We're the stupid ones on the waiting list, waiting. And then the money comes out of your bank account. I remember I looked at my phone and I was like, what? What's this? Why does this money come out? And I was like,
Then you slowly realise it was you. You slowly realise it's your own fault.
Can I stop? They already look like the ones that I've got. I don't need to.
Exactly. You see,
these are really nice. They've got this reflective bit in the middle, so they look like they're cream. But then when you go outside, they've got orange stripes up the side.
What did you get?
I can't even remember what they're called.
350s of shoes. Did you get trainers?
350s. Trainers.
Yeah, they've got the ones which change colour in the sunlight now as well.
Yeah, that's what I've got. Those ones.
Oh, nice.
sorry.
I'll tell you what, I just if I can have a full disclosure, I literally I had to ask Suki, what are these trainers that they've sent? Because I didn't know what they were.
He asked me how they were. He asked me how they were. You knew they were black cats.
I didn't even know black cats were in a box. That's it.
Trey doesn't know what any of the things are. You just put a picture up and people are
like, I just put a picture like, all right, there you go. That's what you get. You happy now?
Moving on. Very quickly, Suki. How's your week? Have you been eating steak and getting free trainers?
No, I've been living vicariously through Dre. I've been wishing my life with Dre's life.
You know what else Dre did? He was at the weigh-in for the AJ fight.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Seeing as we're speaking about sport, tell us about that.
Well, don't say it. I didn't jinx him. It wasn't me.
I just said you were there.
I'm just going to say this, right? When I started to hear this talk about, well, you know, I've done so many things and there's a life outside there and all that stuff, I was like,
Was he saying this at the weigh-in?
He said this at interviews at the weigh-in. He was like, I've done so much stuff. Like, you look at it and you'll see. And AJ's a wicked guy. You know, we're lucky enough to be able to get to meet him. And he's just like a really, really nice guy. Maybe too nice. And it's just because he's a nice guy, he will give you, like, you know, normal, regular, nice person answers. And sometimes
the problem with AJ is he's a really nice bloke and he's a good, really good role model. But I just don't think he loves boxing as much as these other guys. So I think AJ's a businessman. AJ is a smart man. I think he does it for that. And he's very marketable, AJ. Whereas I think you look at these other guys, they don't care about the money. They don't care about the business side.
Yeah, man.
They do it because they just have this hunger for boxing.
And AJ, I think you need to have that though, don't you, for boxing.
He's done really well for who he is. And he's unbelievable. But I think technically and boxing wise, these other guys are just far better. I think had he come up against Fury would have destroyed him. Fury's just the best boxer.
I was lucky that fighting terms.
You don't think it's going to happen now?
But there's too many steps to get there, isn't there now? Because he's
the only way it can happen is if Fury loses to Wilder, which I don't see will happen, or if AJ comes back and beats Usyk next year, which I don't think will happen because it was such a demolishing from Usyk.
Oh, they're not doing it this year.
Oh no, I thought that was going to happen. Isn't that?
No, it'll happen, but I just don't see AJ winning that.
Oh, you don't see him winning.
No. But yeah, it's shame.
It's just when I hear, like, I never heard Tyson kind of like talking to them, saying, "Oh, well, there's a life outside things and all that stuff." As soon as I start hearing,
kind
that
of time stuff, to say it, isn't it? Really. It's not the right time.
You can, and it's good that he's like that. I completely celebrate that. And to a certain point, Tyson Fury does that as well. Like he's been to the bottom, so he actually understands, you know, what it's like to be completely cast out of the sport. So he's got a different perspective. But obviously, his hunger comes from wanting to reach the top. But I think when you're at the top, and you've got kids and other things that you've got going on in your life. If there's any slight distraction, and that's always the thing that's labelled at AJ fairly or unfairly, just because he has so many things, so many sponsorship deals, but just other things that are non-boxing related.
He's come from a very modest, poor upbringing, so I think he's just happy what he's got, kind of thing.
I don't think he should put himself in harm's way. I'm not saying that he couldn't win these fights, because, like, to me, boxing died a long time ago, like with the Klitschko brothers. It's just like, it's not a sport to me anymore that I can kind of take seriously, because people can, with Mayweather dodging people, not fighting people in their prime. You can just choose when you want to fight them and all that stuff. It should be number one contender, just like Rocky films, number one contender, next man up. You have to defend your belt all the time. But because you don't have to do that and you could choose not to do that, I think
it's kind of weird, isn't it?
It's devalued the sport. You're not testing yourself all the time. You know, because the thing is that, like, people concentrate on being undefeated, when really I'm going to respect you more if you've been beaten three times and you're a three-time world champion. That means you come back three times to be able to win it. To me, I hold that in higher esteem. So, but I do,
but
like,
lost his way. You can't hate a Mayweather though. Mayweather's incredible.
Well, again, if you handpick your it depends on which style of boxer you like. But if you handpick,
he's beating the good boxers as well. He's beating Pacquiao, Canelo. Hatton when they were good.
He beat Pacquiao when Pacquiao was not in his prime. He beat Pacquiao when he had been defeated a couple of times. Remember, if you get rocked in the middle of the ring a couple of times, then some of you doesn't come back. So I just think that I'm not interested in someone running around the ring calling defensive boxing. I want someone to attack. But what is obviously with Mayweather, it's a sport where obviously if you get into it technically, it's how many times you can jab someone, even if you don't knock them out. Oh my God. Ronaldo just scored a last minute goal.
No.
God, honestly, it will be full of.
Is there no time left at all?
No, it's like literally they did not deserve to win this game in any form of way at all. Like literally 1 minute before that, like maybe 2 minutes before that, then Villarreal almost scored, and it had to be cleared off the line.
What's the score in there?
It's literally 95th
minute. 2-1.
Oh, 2-1.
Yeah, it's absolutely horrible. But please don't move on.
But anyway, speaking of football. nice little segue there. Let's move on to the events of the week with Liverpool. So we've got two games to discuss, Brentford and Porto last night. Obviously Porto we're very happy with, but let's go to Brentford. Some mixed feelings on the Brentford game. Suki, do you want to just give us a little rundown, give us a run up? I don't know if you can remember the lineup and what you made of that. And then your sort of take on the game overall.
Yeah, we had a couple of injuries going in. So Naby couldn't play because he hurt his foot. And Thiago's obviously now out for 4 to 6 weeks from when he got injured. And obviously Harvey's out long term. So yeah. We had Jones in the middle with Hendo and Fab. And at the back, Trent came in again, although he's now injured.
Do we know what's wrong with Trent?
I don't understand. Because he trained before the Porto game and then just didn't go on the flight. And now he's not going to play against City.
I'm wondering if there's something going on there because he was obviously ill, wasn't he? Palace game? Did he miss? Yeah,
I don't know.
They just said he was ill. They didn't say what. And then he was a bit off.
I'm supposed to be like some type of muscle injury or something like that.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure what it could be like.
It's a bit weird, that one.
I mean, some people are saying it could be COVID or something like that, but they don't.
Well, they've said it isn't, but who knows? Sorry, go on. It's okay.
I don't think it is COVID because he trained with the team before the Porto game. Hopefully, it's not too long. It sounds like he's going to miss City, but then it's international break for a couple of weeks. And then we had Virg and Matip at back. And then obviously the normal front three we've been going for. Yeah, it's a really disappointing game, to be honest. We went behind, but we pulled ourselves back and then went in front twice and couldn't keep that lead. Brentford played really well, so you have to give props to Brentford, but we were just disappointing defensively. Their three goals were all very similar with sort of balls towards the back post, and it was just sort of some shambolic defending from us. And I just didn't expect that, to be honest, with, as you say, our strongest back four and goalkeeper this season. Yeah, it's really disappointing. I thought Matip had a really poor game. I thought Fab had a poor game. I actually thought VVD played really well. So it's I wasn't sure first. And then after rewatching the game, I just thought VVD didn't do too much wrong. He was just in a, like, not supported well from everybody else. There wasn't much he could do because it was sort of the right side all three goals came from, which is sort of the Matip and Trent side. But I also don't blame Trent for it as well, because Trent was overloaded at the back.
I thought Trent got a lot of stick for that game.
I don't think he deserved to. He had three players on him.
Exactly.
And so I don't think it's his fault. I think anybody would have found that tough. But what I was disappointed with was actually the team and Klopp in general, because once that happens to you once you see that's their tactic, why don't you change your formation or tactics to support somebody at the back? There should have been somebody coming at the back and helping Trent, either Hendo, either Fab, even Mo, like, coming back on that side. And it just happened three times. And don't get wrong, Brentford took their goals really well, especially the third one. But yeah, it's just really disappointing. And we obviously missed some sitters as well. Like, Salah's obviously been unbelievable for us this season, but Fantastic. We're so wasteful. It's been the story. And I said a few weeks ago, it's going to cost us missing all those chances. And it just cost us in this game.
That's like, what the concern is, isn't it? It's these games that they need to just be winning. And, you know, we should be sitting comfortably top of... Well, there should be a bigger gap at the moment.
It should be 2 points clear, ahead, more clear now.
Yeah. Or even, I mean, if we think to the Chelsea game as well, that should have won, really.
Should have won that, yeah. It's just disappointing because, again, we've lost teams. I know Brentford are playing really well. They're not bottom half so far. But we can't keep dropping points to promoted teams. And we just seem to be doing that often. And that chance Salah missed at 3-2 up, that is bread and butter for him, surely. Why are you trying to chip it? Just place it to the side of the goalkeeper and make it 4-2, see out the game. And also Klopp, I don't understand Klopp's decision-making, then putting four attackers on, putting Bobby on for one of the midfielders rather than... Like, I'm not Jones.
That's one where we took Jones on.
Yeah, he took Jones off after his goal. And I'm not a huge Jones fan, but I thought he's played all right. And if I was making a substitution at 3-2, I'd have not put Bobby on for Jones. I would have put Gomez or... Maybe not Gomez, but some Milner, maybe somebody more defensive minded sort of protect us rather than having four attackers when we.
It's a really strange decision.
Yeah, I came out of that game really frustrated. It was like, not again. That is just so disappointing. And it was after United had lost as well earlier that day. It was after Chelsea had lost. So I just
frustrating thought that when that happens, isn't it?
Yeah, that was our chance to sort of send a message as well after sort of not being talked about.
Where do you think it went wrong, Dre?
I mean, to be honest with you, it's they you know pretty much targeted Trent at the back post.
Yeah.
You know, and if all three of the goals were exactly the same, you know, so the problem I had, and just like Suki said, is that it would have been nice if you'd have been, you know, seen that and been like, okay, well, you know what we've got to do is let's drop someone in there. Like, so if you'd have dropped Milner in there, Milner may not have the pace and everything, but he just knows where to be. So I don't think that goal would have happened if Milner would have been on there or if Gomez would have been on there. The problem is that what people do is they say, oh, Trent can't defend. It's like, you're not going to defend, like, you know, there's a difference if you get skinned three or four times and then the winger crosses in and it ends up being like three goals. That's different. Like, obviously he got skinned with Rashford a long time ago. And I think that's kind of stuck with him. And I just think it's like a very weird thing for people to kind of focus on when he's got so many other attributes. But that being said, all the teams are going to face a battle going to Brentford because maybe, and this is my thought, is that sometimes our team rocks up like they're going to win. Like they know the points are in the bag. They've done that against Watford when they rocked up against Watford and it was just like, oh, this is easy. And once, unless you start with a determination, it's kind of difficult for you to just kind of turn it on. And we know, like, you know, when you see your team and you're like, actually, they're not up for it today. Like, and you got to remember that each team that you're playing that's their cup final. So especially the smaller teams, they want to prove, like Ivan Toney wants to prove that he's Premier League worthy. Now, skill set wise, I might not rate him, but at the end of the day is that if you're going to have someone who's going to be able to hustle and bustle, make trouble, you know, who's got a little bit of got pace, like he's going to cause problems within that area. So I think that it's really like kind of us being more arrogant than anything else. I think it was a punchy substitution to make, but it was like, if you look back at it, I think Klopp would be like, oh, it was the wrong decision. It was a little bit like too arrogant to be like, all right, you know what we're going to do? It's just going to fire ourselves out of there. Now, I you guys say about the lost chances, the missed chances and wasted chances, but we're the first team in top flight football in Britain to have four games consecutive or three games consecutively with three goals scored.
That's right,
since we did that.
No, but that's not the point. The point is it's great winning these games.
I agree with you though.
But I'd rather win the games 1-0 if it means we're winning the games like Brentford. And don't get me wrong, it's obviously great seeing where we were 9 months ago when we couldn't create anything, when we had that barren period, to now we are just creating so much. And it's nice to have that luxury. We're getting in the position. So it's always going to happen. We're scoring all these goals. It's just...
It's specifically these games, though, isn't it?
We also haven't really been tested against people. Great. Our test against Chelsea, I guess, not, I wouldn't say lucky because it was a red card, but it was slightly easier for us because we then got that red card, although we would have got that goal anyway because the goal was a goal line.
Exactly, goal would have been a goal.
But the problem is, against harder teams, you need to take those clinical chances. It's just frustrating. Mm. Like, it seems to be old Liverpool where we work so hard, we don't score as many chances. I'm sure if you look at our X goals, that it's where scored and three scored is less than our XG. But the problem is, the other way around, I believe we've got the best defence in the league by a long way. I don't think there's anybody else that can test us. But why do teams just seem to be so clinical against us? And that's the frustrating thing for me. Like, Brentford got three goals against us and we've got the best defence in the league. And it's just like, they had three chances and they scored. They didn't have three chances.
I think it's a lot of what Dre was saying. And I don't know why Liverpool don't learn from this. It's that arrogance of going into a game with the lower league team and just assuming they're going to win. And you just think, but we've seen it time and time again that you don't. Why are they doing it every time? And it was almost like the other day, it was kind of this sloppy complacency. And it was so frustrating to watch because it was like, come on, guys, you should be completely bossing this. And they just weren't.
We're just way too cavalier in everything we did. Like, even the finishing.
Yeah, laid back.
That's the person I'm worried about. I think personally, like, if Mane, was on form and is firing on all cylinders like he has been in the previous years, then we win this game easy. But the problem is that he's not on form. For some reason, he doesn't get taken off. I don't get it. I don't understand that.
That was bizarre that he didn't get taken off. Actually.
Really, he should have been taken off. You know, put Jota on the left-hand side and Bobby through the middle, because at least Jota had scored and looks like he's going to score. Jota might be wasteful, and I definitely agree with you on that, but you always feel that there's got a goal in him.
He's a better finisher than Mane.
Yeah, with Mane, like, and with his head as well, like, Jota's been lethal with his head. Like, you know, it's just the other chances he's been, you know, I think he's just thinking too much when he's going to shoot. But that will come back. Like, it just,
I mean, he did have some tragic misses. Was it in that one where he was literally in front of the goal? I don't know what he was doing.
Yeah. Oh, well, he did that against Palace, and it was just like, literally, like, rather than just tapping it in, which he has to do, he would just try to just, you know, blast it in. I think it's every striker I've seen have that type of period. But at the end of the day, my thing is that as long as you're in the box, take in those chances. I don't care if you miss 20. As long as you score, as long as you keep on going and you're there for those chances, and that's fine. But Mane's not even there. Like, Mane used to be the other person. Like, if Salah was Salah was crossing it in, then Mane would be the one who'd slide in. And that's the problem. So I that's why I was shocked that after having a really good game, the momentum was with him. So he should have started that game. I just don't get why he's not, because he gives you that different threat. He can hold it up and he obviously is great with his head. So I just think that there's...
Does it give the likes of Minamino as well? If you're just seeing, like, Minamino has come, played a League Cup game with a young squad, but taken two chances. Yeah. And then...
But that's the problem we've got, is that, like, it's, obviously a lot of fans were, arguing before, like, saying, okay, well, we need better strength and depth. And it's just like, I think we've got the players to be able to maintain a winning, form. But the problem is that sometimes I just don't understand. And Klopp knows better than me, and he's, amazing manager.
He just doesn't mean he trusts, does he?
Yeah, but he just doesn't want to, like, I don't get
He doesn't want to take a risk. I feel like he doesn't want to put on Minamino, because if it then, I don't know, it's a weird, I don't know.
You're on the bench, it feels like you're on the bench. And you're on the bench for what? Like, it just feels like there's not much you can do to get off that bench. And I think Kate's...
Also, the substitutions are so late, you can't really prove yourself as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I said this in the ground when I went to see the Palace game, and I, it's almost like woe betide saying anything against Klopp. And it's like, doesn't mean you don't love the guy and you don't support the guy, you don't think that he's amazing. But at the end of the day, is that I've said this for a long time now, even when he was winning the title. It's like some of these substitutions are way too late. Rafa's used to be a 60 minutes on the dot. Maybe it's too predictable and too early, but it's like his ones, you can't be putting on someone 10 minutes before. Like you need someone to be able to change the game. But I will say this, is that I've been very, very impressed with Curtis Jones. Like Curtis Jones is the player, is becoming that player that I thought he would be. Now, I'm not saying he's better than Leader Harvey. But
I thought you were going to say Leader Ox, and I was going to say...
No. Ox is, for some reason, he's just... I don't know. He's got to find a way.
He's been a new dad at the moment. Well,
yeah. That's no excuse. Like, you know, no, the end of the day is that you're a professional footballer, and I'm sure he doesn't give himself any excuses. He's just got to find that form or find a different way to play.
He found form at the start of the season. He didn't get picked.
But then.
No, but it's.
I can't remember what game it was. He was a bit. It was just off. Didn't work for him.
Came to go against Leeds. He came on, it was just like he was all over the place. I just think, but with Jones, like he might not be everyone's cup of tea. I don't understand why, because he's got technique. You know, Stephanie got a shot. He could go past players. So if anything, I think that he's that type of player that I think that if you don't like him, now he will be like how Henderson is, where Henderson, lots of people didn't like him at the start. They're like, what is a waste of money? Don't really agree with this player. But I truly believe that this time next year, even Suki would be like, you know what, this guy's good.
Well, seeing as we're talking about Jones, let's move on to the Porto game last night. And Suki, you can give us your lowdown on Jones and what you made of him, and then we can move on to the game itself.
Right, on Jones, my worry is I feel people want to like him because he's English, because he's Scouse. And I think that has put, and this might sound condescending, and I don't mean to be condescending to anybody, but I just think people have blinkers on for him. Like, you hear it with the pundits, actually. The pundits just, like, bang on about him, and it's because he's English. They do it with every English player, and it's like he won so many Man of the Match awards last year where he just clearly wasn't the Man of the Match, and it's like there is clearly this bias because he's a young English, young Scouse player coming through. And look, don't get me wrong, I'm sure he will be good. He may turn into a Henderson, but for me at the moment, don't get me wrong, this is going to sound really harsh saying it as well, because I actually thought he had a good game against Porto, but I just don't think he's ready for us. I think he's obviously got lucky now, we've had injuries, like, but just comparing him to how Harvey was playing at the start of the season, he is nowhere near Harvey, and Harvey's younger. He, for me, is not near Thiago. And obviously, Thiago's a lot older, but he is lucky that Harvey and Thiago are injured. Even Keita, he's lucky Keita's injured. I just think those three are ahead of him. And my worry is Klopp clearly thinks those three are ahead of him as well. Rightly so, in my opinion. And they get picked before him when they're fit. And we're going to have Thiago and Keita back soon. I just think they need to play. We look stronger with them in the team. I just think it's no mistake that all of a sudden we looked poor on Saturday against Brentford when Jones came in the starting lineup over the others. And I'm not sure if that was subconsciously impacting the likes of Fabinho, who played poorer. But I feel Thiago gives you this control. And with Harvey, I just think his link up with Mane, with Salah on that right side, was just so effortless. And it's like he'd been playing in our team just forever. And the thing that got me is Jones has never had that always being picked into the team. Even last year, even with the injuries, Jones didn't cement that place, and Harvey did at the start of this season with a full fit team. So it case makes you see what Klopp thinks of it as well. No, don't get me wrong, I think he could be good. I just personally think maybe not now, because we probably haven't got enough players, but at the end of the season I'd like to see him go out on loan for another Premier League team and just get 90 minutes every game.
Ooh, Dre's face. Dre, do you think he's ready? Or
I think he's ready now. Like I'm just judging it by
all that. He takes too many touches. It just slows the play.
But I'll be honest, like I'm just gonna judge it off of the last two games. The last two games, if you look at it,
has played
like, by form, and especially the game I saw yesterday, he was amazing. Like he's good.
He's good yesterday. He wasn't good against.
But that's what I'm saying is he scored the goal. So it's like, if you look at it, like he was the person who was just like, you know, trying to set up chances. You know, I think his confidence level is going up. So I might be biased because I've watched him in the youth team. So I know what he can do because obviously I've seen him do it several times in the under 18s, 21s and so forth. But like, I think that he is a player that has been rocked by confidence. I think that last season it was like you getting thrown in a terrible situation, you know, with a team that's misfiring, you know, half the team is missing. I just think it's really unfair to kind of judge him for that. I think that he's becoming back to that player that he was when he scored against Everton that time where he would do the unexpected. And I think that that's what we've been looking for. We've been complaining that we haven't got an attacking, you know, playmaking midfielder. I feel that he is that. I'm not saying, look, if he's fit and Harvey Elliott's fit, I would obviously go with Harvey Elliott. But I feel that with him, he's not that far away, I feel. I think that he is not the ready-made, he's not the complete player yet because he's still young. But I think he's definitely too good to be loaning out.
He's older than Harvey Elliott. Plays
on Sunday, that's for sure.
He's older than Harvey Elliott. I really don't want to see him start against City.
I think it'll be shocking if he doesn't start against City. No, I think that he's... I think
stronger with Catering. Don't be confused by how bad Porto were yesterday.
No, that's fine.
That chance, which Jones set up for Bobby's goal, Bobby's first goal, you might think he played really well, but against a better team, he loses that ball in a bad place. And then we suddenly go a goal down. And Jones has done that.
And we haven't seen him do that this season. That's my point. I get it. Against West Brom last season, I was the first person cussing him out for doing a stupid pass and being like a bit more of like a prima donna.
He did that against Porto. It was just he was lucky that Porto were just so bad and they didn't.
But then remember, Harvey Elliott lost the ball, earlier in the season, first game of the season, as well. I'm an advocate for, whether I like the player or not, you play the person with the hot hand. You don't play people that are cold. And I think you don't just keep on chopping and changing the team. If Harvey Elliott Curtis Jones at the moment is playing, you know, lights out for the last two games,
him starting Cater on.
No,
Sunday.
He's cold. He's come on.
Curtis wasn't lights out against Brentford. You can't say Curtis was lights out.
I think he was the best of our team. Bar Salah. I think that he kept on trying.
That is absolute blink. You're saying that because of his performance yesterday against Porto.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I think that if you don't like a player and you don't like him stylistically, then because this reminds me very similar, to when Henderson joined us, and people just didn't like him stylistically. They just did not like him in any form of way. But then when he found his position at that time, when he was like the eight, pushing forward, scoring goals. I think from what I remember, it's like I think it was Coutinho's first game. Then he came alive with them because he knew to make the runs. I think he scored a goal. There, I really do think he. Oh no, it wasn't. Sorry, it was against Villa. I remember that game, and I think he played really well. You've got to give him his due.
I think with Jones, he is. You know, he's showing. He's growing in maturity, and he seemed. I mean, I thought he seemed fit. He seemed very solid yesterday, and you can't really, take that away from him from yesterday.
No.
But I think he's found an opportunity, hasn't he, at the moment? So obviously, what's his name? He's out. And Thiago's out. What's his name? His name's completely gone. Harvey Elliott. Yeah. So it's almost like an opportunity that he wouldn't have had really to suddenly shine and really show us what he can do. So it'll be interesting just to see how he goes in the next few games. Well, as you were saying, Thiago's out for 5 weeks, 6 weeks.
Mm.
Until after the international break. My worry for Jones is there's Porto were really bad yesterday, but don't get me wrong, he played well, but there's too many times where he makes the wrong decision. There's too many times where he'll take that extra, it's not just one, extra two, three, four touches. And I think it's a slight bit of ego and it's too selfish. And it's just like, play the simple ball. It doesn't need to be about you. And I kind of feel, I don't know if it's pressure to try and make an impact in the team because he doesn't get many opportunities, but it's like,
I think it is partly that.
It's do the simple thing, play the right ball. And I just feel he doesn't do that. I feel he slows it down unnecessarily too much. And don't get me wrong, he scored that absolute cracker against Brentford, which was helped by the deflection. I think the keeper would have saved it if it wasn't for the deflection. But if you have a look at every other shot he's taken, it's been really tame. Every other shot has, and it's not just one or two. From the last two games, there were about six, seven shots, which were just so tame, almost mishit straight down the goalkeeper. And it's like, I get we need somebody to score from the midfield, but if that's going to be your shot all the time, then you're better off playing the better ball to Salah or Jota. And it's, I do think part of it is the pressure he wants to make an impact. But I kind of
there
just...
is loads of pressure, as you were saying, like the media go on and on about him. And you know, just on all the, I don't know if you follow a massive amount of the Liverpool channels, but they are talking about it. Is he's all over it. They're all really, really hyping him up, and rightly or wrongly. And I think that, as you were saying, the pressure must be almost, you know, it's immense on him to have that pressure from the public expecting him to kind of perform
This is why I'd quite like him to just go get 90 minutes every game somewhere else. I don't think he's going to get that for us. I really don't, not with our midfield options.
Yeah, but then that's what Klopp likes to do. Klopp likes to, if you look at, you know, all his time in Dortmund, he likes to bring through players. He likes a small group of people that he can actually mould. And then he doesn't like an endless squad where you've got this disenchanted players who are moaning and pissed off that they're not, like, you know, playing. I think he definitely likes to bring through younger players. I don't see what literally, this is the only time I've heard any negative things about Jones, full stop. Like, he is not the finished article. But I just think that he does what we need, where we need someone to be able to have shots outside, because on the end of the day, people just pack the penalty area and we have to keep on. It's like cross off the cross just keeps getting battered away. Where if you've got someone who they know's got a shot on him, which he can score, and he has scored a lot in the youth teams, you know, I think he's a decent talent.
Dre, if I wanted Liverpool to challenge for Champions League and that was my priority, don't get me wrong, Jones, go for it. If I want to win the Premier League and want to win the Champions League this year, I do not do that with Jones starting every game.
I don't think he's going to start. Look, let's just be realistic. He's not going to start.
At the moment, I think he's starting because of the situation we're in.
Yeah, look at the situation we're in now. Really, you're going to start, you know, Keita, who's cold, who's just come back from an injury yet again. And that's the problem, is that Jones actually is in form. I've seen Jones win back the ball several times. I genuinely don't believe
we'll win the Premier League with Jones playing the majority of games. And this is why I think for his own actual sort of improvement and development, I think he could be a great player if he's getting 90 minutes in every game, because then he doesn't have that pressure of trying to prove himself in a small amount of minutes. And this is why, if we're going to pick Thiago and Keita when they're fully fit, and I think rightly so we do, and actually they're saying Harvey's going to be back before the end of the season. If then Harvey starts to get games before the end of the season, before Jones,
he will be picked before Jones,
which I think is the right thing. And then you've got, he's not going to be picked in the positions that Fabinho and Hendo play. I don't think he's defensive-minded enough. I think if he's sort of your fourth player then for that position with a fully fit squad, is he going to get enough game time to develop into the player we hope he could be? I just don't think it is. And I think we clearly haven't bought, and that's why he's getting game time now.
But how do you know that? Obviously, it's a difference of opinion. How do you know that Klopp is thinking, actually, we have everything we need because we have him, obviously, at that point before Harvey got injured, we have Harvey Elliott. We have players in there who in a rotation can actually do the work. I think that for me, what I've seen, the difference, especially the last two games in Jones, is that that guy runs forward now, is that, that he takes on players, is that he tries to make a forward pass. Before, it used to bother me that, and I'm on record on this very podcast, saying that he keeps on passing
four
sideways.
He didn't do that against Brentford. He didn't do. He got, don't get me wrong, he got a great goal, which was also a deflection. But it was a good
clean hit. You got to shoot to score, my friend.
It's a good clean hit.
Unlike everyone else who's not shooting.
I think you guys are actually giving him more credit for the Brentford game because of his performance, yes, against Porto. Don't get me wrong, he had a good game against Porto. I don't think
I was surprised. I was literally surprised that he was the one who got taken off. And as was he, it looked like. Yeah, I thought that
I was surprised he got taken off because he just scored, to be honest. I mean, up until then, I didn't think he played an amazing game, but I didn't think anyone did, to be honest.
We're all pretty bad against Brentford. But yeah, look, I guess there's...
I think taking him off at that point was a mistake because he was high off of his goal.
Yeah.
And he had, you know, the support was behind him. So that was just a bizarre decision. It was almost like it had been decided and Klopp just stuck. You know, I'm going to take him off, so I'm not going to change my mind.
He played well against Porto, but I think Porto were particularly awful yesterday. I genuinely think we could have scored about 10 yesterday.
That's the story of our lives at the moment.
They were so soft. But also with Porto, you got to remember, they had their main two centre-backs not available. So one suspended and Pepe got injured in the warm-up. And then they lost that other player in the first half as well.
Yeah.
So and their goalkeeper didn't do himself any favours throughout the game.
there were some amusing moments with him.
Porto were really bad. I don't think we should read too much into our performance based on that.
I think we played a really solid game. We've got to give some credit to... I thought it was a solid game, a solid performance. You know, it's really hard, I think, at the moment with the... There's so many... So many things seem to be happening. So, you know, they play badly against Brentford, but equally we could have... Was anyone expecting that generally from Brentford? Probably not. Porto, I mean, we all knew we'd win that one. So, I don't know. It's a bit of a difficult... Comparing the performance yesterday to... I don't know. It's a difficult one.
If you grab a point, as much as like it's annoying, and you know, obviously on paper we should just be able to just breeze past Brentford. I just didn't think there'll be a remote problem against Brentford. That there'll be, you know, I thought it'd be the same type of performance that we gave against Porto. But I think the focus was different. You could see the difference in the momentum and the motivation.
I thought Liverpool, the players looked shocked. Like they weren't.
Yeah,
they
like, surprised.
I thought that's one thing that changed under Klopp compared to different.
That's what was frustrating about the Brentford game was it was suddenly we were seeing this old look about them of, oh, what's going on? And it was like, why is it taking you the whole game to get over what's going on?
Sometimes confidence turns to arrogance, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah.
When you've won as much as this squad have won. Like, you know, if you look at the games, like more often than not, it's like losing to them is like not a normal feeling. Forget about last season because obviously the stupid injuries. But like fully fit team, this team doesn't lose much or draw much. So therefore, like, I think I understand them being a bit arrogant sometimes.
Mm.
I didn't understand the showboating finish from Salah. I thought that, you know, at the end of the day is that there's a chance, blow it away, put it away. And then that will be the end of the game. But, you know, they made up for it against Porto. There was no misunderstandings about the motivation there. And I think that will carry through to City as well.
Well, yeah. So, I was going to say, hopefully that will carry us on through to City. So moving on to City, which is on Sunday, I think. Is it Sunday?
Sunday.
What are our feelings going into that game? Because obviously the Porto game, we saw a good performance. Brentford, obviously not so good. But I do always feel that Liverpool go into the big team, you know, go into their games against big teams, the top of the league team, you know, the top four, top six, with a completely different mindset to the lower league, to the lower teams, lower league teams. How do you think City's going to pan out, and what do you think the lineup might be? Is he going to stick to what you did with Porto, or are we going for something completely different? Dre, what are your thoughts on City games coming up?
I think with the options that are available, and considering that we've played on the Tuesday, so did City. You know, so there's a lot of rest
time.
That's
a point, actually. Yeah, City did as well.
So I would. The only difference I probably would say is that maybe Bobby will play, and I think maybe Jota. I'm just going by what he normally does. Like, I would drop Mane for that game and put Jota in, but I think he'll play Mane, Firmino, and Salah up front, and I think it'll be the same midfield. I don't see him playing anything. I'm just saying what he will do, like, more than what I think, like, personally. I just. Yeah, he'll go with the exact same team, I think, personally.
I think he'll go Jota over Bobby.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Obviously, we've got... Sorry, the only difference would be right back. Is that, yeah, I think then Gomez will play.
Trent. Oh, Gomez.
No, Trent won't be back.
Of course, Trent's out.
I think Milner has problems with Pacey. You know, at that point, I think he'll play... he'll probably play Grealish. I just think that defensively it'll be better for him to play Gomez, because Gomez is, you know, used to playing in that formation. You know, better defender. You know, he's not going to get harassed too much. I think Milner, pace wise, will get torn apart if he's playing against Grealish or Sterling on that side, because that's basically what's going to happen. Is that, you know, Grealish will start, and then just as you get a breather, just as you think it's finished, Then Sterling comes on to finish the job, you know. So it will be Gomez, and then Milner may come on like later on.
So my worry about this game is, historically we've done really well against, I'd say, the other so-called bigger teams in the league, and also always in the mini league. I think we're always number one or number two, apart from obviously this last season, where obviously we're. Since January, that second half of the season, we pretty much were awful against the big teams. We lost at Anfield to City and to Chelsea.
Well, it was just like a domino effect, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You're talking about last season. You can't really count it.
I know you can't really count it, but I think that's going to sit in their mindset. So last time City came to Anfield, they destroyed us. I know it's a different game now. We've got a crowd. We've got our full team back. Well, Bartra.
Yeah, remember, you got to remember who they're playing against. Like if they're foolish enough to think that it's going to be the same type of game, the last time they played against a full strength Liverpool team, we tore them a new one. When we won the league, you know, that's who they'll be playing. They're not going to be playing that bit part, you know, patchwork team that they played the last time. They're more Chelsea, and Chelsea the same thing. It's like Chelsea played well, but they didn't really. They haven't done anything.
He didn't play well against Chelsea, though.
No, but nor did they. I don't feel that they did anything that... Yeah, again, bear in mind, obviously, I think it was the second, third game or something.
Yeah, it was the third game.
Yeah, but even when we're talking about... Like, we had our chances. If the chances were put away, then...
We're not putting them away. That's the difference. You can't say if we put them away. We're not putting them away in any game.
But they didn't as well. Even when it was like... It's not like they were blowing us away. They had one goal that was like... Maybe a fluke header, or maybe a very good header. But
and they
didn't
have
really
had a goal
anything.
As well, as you know, that penalty, as Suki was saying, it would have been a goal anyway.
I don't see City scoring past us, to be honest. I think we'll win the game. I think it's going to be a 2-0, but I just think it does make me wary having conceded three against Brentford last week and having sort of. Had our record against the bigger team slightly ruined by what you'd call it a different team last season and a different environment, but you'd hope the Anfield crowd gets behind it again.
Yeah, it's at home.
And
you tell me the last team that's come and played against us with a full pack Anfield that's actually done anything. Like, yeah, it happened. It's a complete different place, and that's why I can't take last season seriously, because. Same way, I'm not just talking about our team. You go to Old Trafford, you know, it's a different. You go to Palace, it's a different place. At the end of the day, is that there's no motivation. There's no one cheering the team on. There's players who've done like extraordinary things who you think you're rubbish on a normal day, but for some reason, like Troy Deeney, where did he find that pace ball to score against us, against Watford? It's like,
and I think it's taken last year, everything that happened last year, for us to really realise that. You know, where everyone kept going on about the Anfield crowd and this and that and the other. And I don't think that's really been realised until now that the fans are back, how that really does lift. It does lift the players. I mean, obviously, that Chelsea game was at home, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
that's the only thing. We didn't turn up in that game at all. Not even against 10 men. We were awful in that second half, in my opinion. But you'd hope we could turn out for City. I also think City are struggling to score. But the only worry is, although City lost to PSG yesterday, I actually thought City played well. I don't think that game was a 2-0 game. I think PSG just took their chances and City didn't take their two chances. Bernardo Silva missed an open goal from 3 yards out.
That is one of the worst misses I've ever seen. I am still confused how he managed to miss that guy.
I think Jota's was worse. I think Jota's a couple of weeks ago
against Palace. Well,
where he was literally standing at the line with the ball.
I've seen some...
The Bernardo Silva one, he couldn't do much yesterday because it just bounced off the post so quickly and then hit him. And it was sort of rising up as it hit him. The Jota one was worse.
The Jota one was, you know, it was like one of those moments where you're like, what did I just watch?
And this is the first time Silva's been back since we've won the league with fans there. So and Silva's like really.
Yeah,
salty.
I hate Silva. Silva's my most hated player.
That's my point. It's a complete different type. Like obviously, there's always that they're always going to be going at Sterling. You know, I'm not impressed by team. Like I know that we you know, for some reason people had the fear of God when Chelsea scored. Sorry, Chelsea bought Lukaku. I haven't been impressed by them. I haven't been impressed by City. I haven't been impressed by anyone, really. Like, I'm not saying that they're rubbish. I'm not saying that, but no one's above us.
I haven't seen a massive elevation in what they're doing because of who they've got.
Chelsea look solid. Come on, Chelsea look great. Don't get me wrong, they lost against City last week, but they look great.
Chelsea are a good defensive team. And I think, you know, tactically, they've got a really good coach. But really, like, if Lukaku is not scoring, do you see anyone scoring? That's my point. So it's the same thing with us. It's like if take away Salah's goals and we'd be in problems. So it's everything is quite fair. Man United, I'm definitely not impressed by their midfield and defence. I think we're tearing them apart. I just think that what we need to start doing is kind of looking at our own stock and actually realising that we have a seriously good team, squad, could be stronger with an attacking option. But obviously, fingers crossed that's rectified. But apart from that, I don't see anyone's squad being that much better than ours. I think that people just go with the media where they like people spending money. They like the big signings.
I've moved past that. Look, I'm not going to keep talking about that. I think we have the strongest 11. I think we have the strongest back four and goalkeeper in the league. And normally the strongest back four and goalkeeper win you the league. The worry is, last week has hit me a little bit because I just walked in thinking there's nowhere a team can score three past us, even if it's away from goal. There's nowhere we're conceding, certainly not to a type of Brentford. And the fact we conceded those three goals, it sort of reminded me of the Villa game last year where we weren't learning. And it's like, come on, you've got Hendo on the pitch. You've got Van Dijk on the pitch. You've got Klopp on the sideline. How are you not learning? And that's my worry. My worry is I'm quite confident City won't score, but I'm obviously not certain. And obviously City can go from anywhere. But yeah, after seeing last week, I'm now worried, will they just get three goals against us crappily? Will De Bruyne and Grealish just put in some great balls into the box and all of a sudden we concede from that sort of right side of the pitch again? I don't know, but
I think we'll go into this one with a better attitude than we did to the Brentford game. I do think there was a lot of, it was just poor. They just looked poor. It was like they couldn't be bothered, to be honest. And I think they've got a different outlook towards a team like City. They've almost got a, in a weird way, like they've got a bit more to prove against them than they would against Brentford, which obviously didn't do them any good last week. But it'll be interesting to see how they take City and what they choose to do, if they're going to be attacking like they seem to have been, or if they're going to kind of sit back.
I don't think we'll play counter-attack. I think we'll be on the front foot. The only thing is that obviously we just, fully fit Hendo, fully fit, fully football. Sorry, my brain, Fabinho. I think that you're going to have, I just think that are more mobile. I'm just trying to think like the midfield options. He's definitely going to pick Jones.
I think he will as well. I can't see.
But you'll have some. What you will have, like, even if we're debating about Jones, like, you will have people that are going to run back and tackle, and harass their midfield, and harass De Bruyne, and you saw Chelsea midfield harassing De Bruyne, not giving him any time on the ball. That's what will be happening. I'm quite confident we'll win the game, but I think that the only opposition that we've got to ourselves, the worst opposition we've got is ourselves. Like, what type of attitude they turn up with?
Exactly. Yeah.
They have this attitude they had against Porto, against every single team.
Yeah. Well, I hope that is going to carry through to Sunday. What's your score prediction? So Suki gave us two. Suki, are you sticking with your 2-0?
I'm sticking with 2-0.
Yeah, I'll probably go the same. Yeah, I'll go 2-0 again. I think I'll keep on doing that every game now. But I 2-0. Think, I think 2-0. But we have conceded, so I wouldn't be surprised. So let me do 2-1, I would say.
Okay. I'm going to go for 3-0. Because we seem to be knocking in three every
time. Yeah, and he's rubbing off on you.
Let's go. No, if Ellie was here, he would go for 5-0. I'm going for 3-0 on this one. No, I don't think Ellie would go for a big 5-0 on this one.
I reckon he would. I reckon he'd go for a 4-0.
Really? Against him. City? No.
Yeah.
Is he around? Ask him. Oh, yeah. Cool.
He definitely would. Like, I remember when we played City before. When he was on the title run, and he said, like, well, we're going to win like 4-0, and I was like, you must be out of your mind, like, it's going to be a really close game. And within us, what do you reckon, it was like within 17 minutes it was like done, the game was done.
I don't think we'll be there this time, though. I don't think that's going to happen on Sunday. So has anyone got the scores right yet?
No,
I don't think any of us have.
Not one correct scoreline. 5-0.
Terrible. No, because it was 5-1, wasn't it? It wasn't 5-0. Oh, dear. Right. Well, before we round everything up, I think just one last thing to mention was the news about Anfield expanding. The plans have been approved and agreed. So we're going to have 7,000 more seats at Anfield. What do you think the impact of this is going to be?
More Anyone, money for right? FSG.
Yes. Thank you. But can I just start off this section by saying thank you, FSG, for giving us an improved stadium.
The complete difference of opinion between the two. Suki's like, oh, more money for FSG. Great, like, thank
great
you,
facilities. FSG. It's an enjoyable day out, and Maria would co-sign on this. It's an enjoyable experience to go and watch Liverpool play, whereas before it was not. It was like tight seats. It was just like, you couldn't get food. There was no space for toilets. You know, it was just like,
what I think is really nice, and I don't know if you thought this as well, maybe I'm just really weird. I thought that the stands were really clean. Like, just clean.
Immaculate.
I don't mean like that there wasn't rubbish. I just mean it was clean.
It's a really nice stadium to go. So what it is that, so it's going to be on the Anfield roadside. Obviously, that's always like...
That's right.
It feels like it's owned by the... which is completely wrong, if you think about it, but it feels like it's owned by the away fans, where I think that this is going to make a bit more of a difference. You're going to have a fortress both sides. So, it will be nice. And I hope that they kind of keep the aesthetic outside looking. It's really nice. It's like...
Should remain.
Looks like a nice garden.
There's only going to be... I think there's a slight difference to how that side's going to look on the outside. But the rest of it, I mean, it looks great. it's great to have that space as well. Yeah.
Thank you.
And also 7,000 more chances to get a ticket.
Exactly, Sookie. See? Grateful.
Oh, the next meeting is going to be great, obviously.
All right, so I think on that note, I will thank you for all the wonderful debates and chats tonight. Hopefully next week when we're back, we'll be celebrating a solid win against City, and we'll be praising Jones. Sookie, will we praising Jones for the three goals that he's going to score?
Jones, last minute winner.
Sookie will be the one sending the messages. Leader Jones. But thank you. And
let's hope Cater starts.
Thank you. We will see you all next week. Goodbye.
All right. See you.